The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Wow. See that story from Ohio State? Football coach Urban Meyer put on leave. Ohio State football coach Urban Meyer, this from Fox News, was placed on paid administrative leave Wednesday as the university investigates what he knew about domestic abuse claims against an assistant coach who was fired last week. Now, the story goes this way. Offensive coordinator Ryan Day will serve as the acting head coach for the Buckeyes, who are expected again to be one of the top teams in the country. The announcement was made hours after the ex-wife of a former coach, Zach Smith, alleged publicly that she told Urban Meyer's wife in 2015 that Smith, her husband, had assaulted her. Courtney Smith made the allegations in an interview with a digital sports network and provided text messages to a reporter. Shelley said she was going to have to tell Urban, Courtney Smith told the digital sports network. I said, that's fine. You should tell Urban. If Courtney Smith's allegations are confirmed, then Myers would be in violation of Title IX policy on reporting allegations of domestic violence against university employees. Shelley Meyer is a registered nurse and an instructor at the university. Smith was fired on July 23rd after an Ohio court granted Courtney Smith a domestic violence protective order against him. The couple divorced in 2016. Zach Smith was charged in May with misdemeanor criminal trespass. At the time of the charge, Zach Smith's attorney said Courtney Smith had accused him of driving to her apartment after she told him they would meet elsewhere so he could drop off their son. Zach Smith pleaded not guilty last month. A hearing has been scheduled for Friday. So I guess the whole point is this wife of a former assistant coach of Urban Meyer said she told his wife that that her husband, who worked for him, committed acts of domestic violence, and if she told him, Urban Myers, about it and he didn't report it, then he is in violation of that Title IX policy. And so they have put him have been placed on administrative leave.
Right.
On Wednesday, Urban Meyers has been. I guess the point would be, why would you place somebody on leave? Because you simply asked them a question. Did your wife tell you about it?
Right. Is the investigation should be very simple.
Right. No or yes. Yes or no. To put on administrative leave to investigate it. Well, is it because he said, no, she didn't tell me, and you don't believe him?
Right.
Because if whoever is in charge, the president of the of Ohio State, whomever, and he asked him the direct question, did she tell you about it? And he said, yes, she told me about that. The wife had accused, my assistant coach of domestic abuse. Well, then at that point, would you be put on administrative leave? Yes. Might you be suspended? Yes. Might you be fired? Yes. At that point. But if you, the only other case would be you said no and they didn't believe you. So they need to investigate
right.
more.
Yep.
Because if you said no and they believed you, then you wouldn't be put on administrative leave unless they just figured, well, look, you say no, we need to investigate this because this charge is serious.
Yes. Yeah, how many university scandals have there been in just in the recent 2-3 years? And it often goes back to, all right, somebody knew about something. Somebody in a position of power knew about something, didn't do anything about it. And you would think by now that, that somebody, I guess, that, that everybody else would have learned from those situations, saying, you know, need to make sure that all the T's are crossed, I's are dotted. Because if the allegations are true, then what in the world are you thinking? That's something that has to be reported, right?
Mm-hmm.
The information has to be shared. How important is the game? I mean, has it become, as you go through all the university scandals, right? How important is the sports program as opposed to the lives and well-being of individuals?
Well, I, look, I,
and information and, just not being relayed, because that would be the implication, right? Well, you're not going to say anything about it because that assistant coach is too valuable to the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the thought process behind it. Not going to get this person in trouble because I need that person in place.
Look, there are just some things that are extremely black and white,
mm-hmm,
to me. And I've talked about it one time. I remember one time where I had to fire somebody when I was a station manager. I had to fire one of my employees for sexual harassment,
mm-hmm,
you know, or whatever you call it. Assault. He grabbed a woman's rear end who worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me about it. And I said, well, I got to fire him. And she said, no, I don't want you to fire him. I said, I have no choice. And she said, no, please don't do it. And I brought the owner of the station in, who was a woman. And I said, I believe we should fire. And, you know, we can't take the chance. And both the person who's the victim and, you know, is telling me, no, please give him one more chance. Give him one more chance. And I said, I shouldn't do this. And now this goes back to the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with the owner saying, well, your call on it, I said, okay, this one chance. He did it again. I fired him. Repeated it. And was a harmless guy, she didn't even view him as being harmful, but that conduct was just unacceptable. And even though I was told by the person who was, you know, the alleged victim in the case, please don't do it, I should have done it the first time.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So I
look at it, it's like, you know, but this isn't domestic. It wasn't an act of domestic violence.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you have to pay, even back then, you had to pay attention to it immediately.
Well, it's interesting. Because I look at the whole university thing, right? The sports programs, it's too big. You can't mess with it, regardless of something that might be going on. At ESPN.com, Andrea Adelson writes about the Urban Meyer thing. She writes, Urban Meyer today is the same Urban Meyer who walked the sideline at Florida, a head coach so driven to win, he was willing to tolerate misconduct among players and alleged misconduct among assistants as long as it meant competing for championships. Again, this is, you know, these are her thoughts, her analysis here. But there's one big difference, she writes, forgiving and forgetting domestic violence, sexual assault, or abuse against women is no longer the norm. Nobody is too big to go down in college sports. Not anymore. But I have to question that. I guess I question the mentality if they believe it's too big. Is it really everything for the win? Again, if the allegations are true. Or in any of these situations. And how much of that is still at play in these sports programs and schools all across America? turn the other cheek. Sorry, we got to get a win.
Well,
and how, again, do you police it without people coming forward?
Look, people's mindset at times I don't understand. I know my mindset is the money or my position or the pressure to win would have nothing to do with the decision that I would make.
I would think that the standard that I set by doing the right thing is what I would want all of those players, students, to come away with. And if it meant that my team was not going to be as good because one of my coaches is going to have to answer for something they did, then so be it. But we will absolutely do the right thing every time. And if those students don't walk away with a winning season, but they walk away with that, it's better. And it's a better world and that standard and example was set for them.
You know, I was thinking that Vlad Guerrero, who is the number one prospect in Major League Baseball, just got called up to Triple A baseball yesterday, and he will be eventually a Toronto Blue Jay. He's only 19 years old, going to be an incredible ball player. And they talked to the Triple A coach. Do you feel pressure? He says, no, because I treat him like anybody else. This isn't about just baseball. It's about developing human beings.
Right.
Well, we're talking about the professional level, you know, where they're paying somebody to do it. And his philosophy is, well, no, it's about individuals. It's about developing not just ball players, but people. And there are a lot of coaches out there, even in the professional ranks, that have that. You would think that it would be greater at the college rank, would you not? Yeah. I would think that the emphasis, and I know the emphasis to win, but can't you have both? Do you lose the ability to win because you have integrity? Does integrity take away that ability to win because you might lose one or two or three players during the course of a season? But some of these things that happen, and I don't know this case about, you know, Urban Meyer's, but we, you know, this particular domestic violence case, because the evidence isn't all in. But when we have seen college coaches and the things that happen, you know, you look at Penn State or, you know, the Baylor situation or whatever, and you say, well, my God, a ton of people knew what was going on in these cases. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that is permissible and isn't stopped immediately and confronted. And for some of these things to go on for months and in other cases, years, under the same leadership, and the claim, well, we had no idea what was going on. Well, that's hogwash.
Well, because here's the number one concern should be for the alleged victim. In every case, I've got to help this person. I'm in a position of power to do something about it. And every day that I don't, that person suffers. How is that not a basic human thought? Again, if the allegations are true, but I mean, in any case where you're in a position of power, we go back to the Harvey Weinstein thing. You have major names. Oh, yeah, well, you know, we probably should have said something. Yeah, but you didn't.
Or him stating, because this is the, well, no, back then things, you know, we did things like that. It was allowed, and mm-hmm. you and I both said, well, no, it wasn't. And I remember because I worked for Harvey Weinstein. I worked for his club when he was a early rock promoter. It wasn't allowed at his club.
No, I've known it. I've never known it to be allowed and accepted.
I've never known that. I worked when I worked at the bank in the early 70s. You knew in that bank setting in the 70s, you couldn't be involved in any kind of sexual harassment, race, or anything. Oh. We always talked about the fact of, you know, with human resources, you can't, you know, this is a place where, you know, this is a place, this isn't allowed here, it's unacceptable, this is a way that you must conduct yourself. And that was in the early to mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole thing, whether it was Harvey, well, no, it was much more permissible back in the late 70s, early 80s. No, it wasn't.
No.
I think that in some places it always is the, or it becomes the culture because of the people running the organization, but it certainly has not been, at least in my lifetime work experience, ever acceptable in the places that I've worked. In certain cultures, it might be acceptable, but it's not universal.
Well, and the allegations here of spousal abuse, in this case, how would your first thought not be with that again, if it's true, with that victim?
Right, to find out what's going on, especially since you have a relationship, you know, your wife had a relationship with the wife, and you have certainly have a relationship with the husband because he's one of your assistant coaches. You want to get down to that immediately as soon as you find out and find out what in the world's going on. From the investigative point of view, what's going on here with my assistant coach?
Well, because it would be, I would think, very basic too, beyond that primary concern of for the victim, which should always be first. Then you would think about, I would think about the program and the students there that are going to be affected by this. If I don't do the right thing and somebody finds out that I know, well, wait a minute. Here we are. Again, assuming these allegations are true, if that's the case, how would you not be thinking of the sports program, the team, and
right.
everything else that would be a part of this fallout if people found out you did nothing?
Yeah, I'd rather solve the problem than go through what Penn
exactly.
State went through.
Exactly.
Well, it might cause problems. Yeah, but you see what happens when you don't solve the problem.
And guess what? Now it is an ever looming cloud over that school and sports program mm-hmm. because you didn't do the right thing.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tires are one of the largest operating costs for owner-operators and fleets alike, and retreading is a cost-effective way to get the most out of your tires. You can save anywhere from 30 to 50% per tire by retreading, providing that your casings are properly maintained. Take good care of your current tread. Tires catch everything on the road, chemicals, debris, salt, and more. These elements can have detrimental effects on your tires' treads, damaging them over time. You can avoid this issue by washing your tires anytime you wash your vehicle. It's also crucial to pull your tires when the remaining tread gets to 430 seconds. Waiting any longer and leaving any less tread on the tire can increase the likelihood of casing damage. Maintaining a proper preventive tire regimen can extend your tire's lifespans and save your business money.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Jeff in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Jeff, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, on this Urban Meyer deal.
Yes.
If you do any further checking, you'll find out that the assistant coach who's in trouble is the grandson of Earl Bruce, who was the coach at Ohio State whenever Urban Meyer was an assistant there. And he is Urban Meyer's, Earl Bruce is Urban Meyer's mentor. Now, this coach was also with Urban Meyer at Florida, and he had the same trouble down there, but it got covered up.
Yeah, we're talking about Zach Smith. The former assistant coach. He was fired in July, by the way.
Yes.
They're willing to have the conversation. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
Andy's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Just so you know, when you know, just to respond to the last caller and an overview of what's going on with Urban Meyer and the Ohio State football program. On the same day that two new reports of alleged domestic abuse, one from 2009 and another from 2015, surfaced, Zach Smith was dismissed as the Buckeyes wide receivers coach on July 23rd. Mm-hmm. This is from NBC Sports. At the Big Ten media days the next day, Meyer acknowledged that he was aware of the 2009 incident, but vehemently denied any knowledge of the one in 2015. Now, the one in 2009, she was pregnant and refused to press charges. So, but he denied any knowledge of the one that happened in 2015. In fact, Meyer said that those allegations were fabricated. And as he described the decision to dismiss Smith, who was cited in May for criminal trespassing following an incident with his ex-wife, and called it a very tough call. Then yesterday, not only did the ex-wife say that she told Urban Meyer's wife, but college football insider Brett McMurphy dropped the damning bomb on Facebook, writing, "Text messages I have obtained, an exclusive interview with the victim, and other information I have learned shows Ohio State coach Urban Meyer's knew in 2015 about domestic abuse allegations against a member of his coaching staff." The fired assistant coach's ex-wife and the alleged victim in at least four domestic abuse situations, Courtney Smith, provided text messages between her and the wives of Ohio State coaches, including Urban Meyer's wife, showing Meyer's knowledge of the situation. Shelley said that she was going to have to tell Urban, Courtney claimed, according to McMurphy. "I said, fine, then you should tell Urban." I know that Shelley did everything that she could. So there you go. It said, nowhere in the posting does it show that Shelley Meyer actually followed through and told her
and
husband
told Urban, right,
about the domestic abuse.
Yeah, because that would be the next, that would be the next question. Yes. Is there any, would there be any evidence to show that that communication took place, or to show at any point that he knew of the 2015 right. alleged incident?
And it said, that said, a text message exchange between Courtney Smith, the alleged victim, mm-hmm. and the wife of one of Meyer's longtime other football staffers showed that the head coach had indeed talked to Zach Smith about the allegations of domestic abuse in October of 2015. So, and they had, you know, again, they had the conversation. He talked to whoever was the athletic director yesterday.
Right.
They had a conversation. Nothing came out on it. And then he was put on paid leave. So, and no information on that meeting have come out. So just to clarify, you know, from the last caller and other callers there, the full story, as we're getting it from NBC News, the Fox News story did not cover in full what some of the information was.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
we just followed it up there. So there you go. And again, I don't make decisions on it.
Yeah, it will be. We'll, I guess, find out in the coming days exactly what the school intends to do about, you know, how this investigation, I guess, from the school is going to go down.
And we're already getting, you know, response. Well, the coach shouldn't be responsible for anything that goes on with an assistant at home. Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, actually, he is responsible for telling somebody about it.
Yes.
He's not responsible for the behavior
right.
of the other person. He's only responsible for
the reporting of it.
So
you everybody can have their opinion of what you think here, but again, I don't know what the actual truth is. Neither do you. Nobody really knows at this particular point. So to make definitive opinions, to me is as always on any topic, which seems to happen quite frequently lately. To me, is just, frankly, irresponsible. So
his contract extension actually has language in it that deals with that. So he has to report violations. That's part of his contract. Now, I guess in the investigation, they just have to prove that his wife told him, and that, which means he knew.
which is probably why either if he denied it once just a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
or less or a week ago, it would be July 24th, I think. So if he's denied it here in the last week, and he continues to deny it, and they have other evidence or the emails imply that other people claim that he knew, at that point you would need to have an investigation just to cover all your bases as the university.
Right.
If he's still claiming, and I don't know if that's what he claimed yesterday, if he's claiming, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
No, my wife didn't tell me. Well, then they have other people to go through to find to find out.
Right.
Or to use as witnesses either way. To defend him or to say, no, we talked, he knew.
Yeah.
And that's what the university has to do, both to protect, if they're protecting Title IX, and if they're also looking at, you know, the wording of the actual contract that they have with him as to what he has to do. So, there you go. And I know people, these things come up and, you know, people are passionate about their football and everything else and the coaches and come to instant defense or criticism. And as we have said from the very, very beginning, and sometimes we tick off people when we don't take sides, when we don't know. Hence Trayvon Martin.
No, because, in this case, it really is, you know, the question that arises again, if these allegations are true and he knew about it and didn't say anything, then the concern becomes, all right, is the game that big? If you know about somebody who is suffering at the hands of one of your staffers and you're not one of your coaches in this case, and you're not going to do anything about it, because whether it's because of your relationship with the program or both, that should be unacceptable. And as a society, we do find it unacceptable.
Well, I would say the challenge here of investigators is if he claims he knew about what happened in 2009 and they talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you have that one incident where you are already suspicious as to what has gone on.
Right.
And apparently the 2015 one that were felony charges still has not been resolved, according to NBC News.
Mm.
So at that particular point, you don't know anything about if there were felony charges against your assistant.
And one of the allegations, all the wives of all the coaches knew.
Yeah.
In other words, it was widely known in the program. How would Urban Meyer not know about it? That's again from, you know, one side of it. So the school will have to go through and there is actual language in his contract. If they're going to fire him for cause, basically, he has the right to state his case, make his case. But if they find overwhelming evidence, right, then they have the right to let him go.
And that was a third domestic violent incident against the Zach Smith emerged Monday evening, as Brett McMurphy reported that Smith was arrested in October of 2015
right.
on felony counts of domestic violence and
right,
assault.
Right, yeah.
So I just wanted to just repeat, you know, that one, because at that particular point you wonder, so somebody's arrested on felony counts and nobody in the football program knew? That was able to be kept quiet?
Right.
Especially if she was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are those are just the questions that need to be answered from the evidence that so far has appeared. And in no way are we saying that it encompasses all the evidence that exists that would be favorable or not favorable to Urban Meyer. We just don't know.
Right.
At this moment. So. But yeah, that's what the question gets to when we've talked about, you know, remember when the whole Penn State thing happened, you remember mm-hmm. how much time we spent on, you know,
well, because in programs this big with, you know, names this big, but in these schools, these major schools, a felony arrest of an assistant coach, how would that not get around the campus instantly? Right. How do you keep that quiet? I mean, and all these other alleged events that took place in these other schools, how is it that they were able to, you know, keep that hushed. I mean, forget about the coaches. What about other students on that campus? But when the programs are that big, that's where the measurement is.
Yeah, in some of these cases, is football bigger than it? Yeah.
You well, that's question. The thought anyway. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying in this case
right,
it is, because
right.
I don't know.
Right.
But in other cases, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They believe it is.
Yeah. It's not, but they, yeah, it's a great point. It's not, but they believe it is.
They see it as that.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Eric Hurley, I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Ed in Nashville, Tennessee. Ed, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, Gary. Gary, I've just started listening within the last 30 minutes. It's 3 o'clock in the morning where I'm at. I guess he is responsible for letting the school know about it. I just want to say this. If somebody's having a problem in their relationship, sometimes they don't really, especially they don't want to go tell somebody else about it. If the guy was arrested for domestic abuse, I guess it's his responsibility to come tell the coach about it. You know, or is, but I mean, if I'm having a problem with my relationship and my wife, I don't think I'm going to come to work the next day and tell everybody at work about it. So, I mean,
well, but that's different than being arrested and charged with a felony.
Yeah, no, I you know, if that's the case,
having an argument is one thing.
Right.
Yeah, because here's the thing. By the way, Zach Smith is no longer at the school. He was fired, let go July 23rd. And so really this isn't about what Smith should have told the coach, Urban Meyer. It's about Urban Meyer and his contract. And that's really the
and Title IX.
And Title IX.
Did Urban Meyer fire the guy?
I'm assuming the AD did, but he was part of it, of course. Yeah. So yeah,
okay.
About
going to the school and telling them, is that really worth being fired over?
What do you mean if that?
He took care of that. He had an issue. With a coach, he felt like, I guess, the guy had been arrested, so he fired the guy.
Well, it's 3 years. It's 3 years later. That's the problem. Is that did he know about it then?
3 years after.
Well, it was the incident. Okay. The incident took place. The latest incident took place a few years ago, and the allegation is that Urban Meyer knew about it. All the coaches and their wives knew about it. That's again the allegation. But Urban Meyer actually. But is contractually bound to report such things that happened with his staff, and if that's true that he knew about it and didn't, then he's violated Title IX in his contract. So that's what it comes down to, and it's not a criminal matter in terms of Urban Meyer.
Yeah, and so it's really not. Zach Smith doesn't even enter it now.
No,
it's simply did Urban Meyer know or did he not know?
Right.
That's what the college is looking at. And it's not a criminal offense.
No. No, it's just that they would sever their relationship. He would no longer be the coach. He'd be done. If they found that if they believed that he knew and didn't report it.
Yeah, so, again, a lot of people, I don't know. We don't know. We can only report what the allegations are and what the university has done.
Right.
I'm not making a judgment of guilty or not guilty or did he know or did not know. I don't know. Nobody knows. So a lot of people like to, you know, jump on and say, well, here's what's going on. Well, you don't know. Neither do I.
Right.
I saw was the Trayvon Martin special this week that I saw just the previews of it. And I just, it flashed back to you and I dealing with it saying, look, there's a huge segment of time that nobody knows what happened.
Right.
It doesn't matter what.
Regardless of who those individuals may not have been in that scenario, it was down to that moment.
Right. And still to this day, we have no idea what happened in that. People make absolute judgments. We've learned that on this show without having the evidence behind them. Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election.
Sure.
And so that's become, well, you want a sport in this country, that's become sport. I have an absolute judgment on someone and the evidence, no evidence to prove it.
Right. Sure. And then we call for action based on ignorance, basically, lack of knowledge, lack of the complete facts.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Welcome and good morning. In the news today, well, I mean, the top story has to be the actress, Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
Saying if they fire Mueller, we take to the streets. Tweeting that out yesterday.
Okay.
Did you hear that another woman, she saw somebody with the Trump bumper sticker on the car or something and rammed the car? You know, they keep saying that the supporters of Donald Trump, you know, are calling for violence. You know, the whole Jim Acosta thing, which we really haven't covered much because he's boring me. You know, this whole thing. Well, you know, they booed him. They said that he sucks and everything else and the violence. And did you notice where all the violence seems to be coming from? All the acts of actual physical aggression, where they're coming from? Where are they coming from? I'm just taking notice because I can guarantee you, if Trump people were assaulting non-Trump people out of the blue, I believe, Eric, and I could be wrong, but I believe that would be front page headlines.
Yeah.
And what we find out is it seems like every report that we get is that Trump people are being attacked and assaulted.
I was saying this the other night when we were talking about the back and forth of the New York Times publisher and how he said he issued concerns with the president that his rhetoric was making it dangerous for journalists around the world and that things could get violent. And I thought, get violent? Wait a minute. The anti-Trump people are the ones that we have seen in how many videos now? Where they're absolutely willing to get violent. Not all of them do.
No.
But in a number of them, there's one guy that was looking to, basically you could see where he was looking to break two people up, right? They were getting too close. The anti-Trump guy was getting in the face of the Trump guy. And then this guy puts his, basically kind of gets between them. And then, how dare you do that? Because here it goes. And the anti-Trump people just start clobbering the guy. And it just went crazy. The left keeps saying he's causing all these problems. He's causing all these problems?
Or his supporters are.
Right. Well,
and you know,
because with CNN and the whole back and forth in the New York Times, you know, it's Trump that's causing the problems. Give me a break. You know, I don't know how much evidence you need, but this is clear.
By the
their,
way,
their agenda is very clear. There's no disputing that anymore in terms of the bias But this goes beyond bias now. It's pure hate.
Well, let's be honest. If you take our show and put our show in the middle of an Ocasio-Cortez rally, odds are we're getting booed and every name in the book is going to be thrown at us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, would I be upset at that, or would I say, well, yeah, I should have expected it?
Yeah.
I would say, well, duh, of course I'm going to get that. And if I'm trying to broadcast, of course I'm going to get that.
Yep.
Yeah, do you ever see when the sportscasters, when the sportscasters, like before or post-game, where they're out there in the crowd, they have the, you know, but they, you know, they get all the analysts that are discussing what happens, and they decide. I've seen this a lot on for hockey games, and they will gather, you know, after the, you know, after the game, but they put, you know, the set is put where a ton of the fans are, and all of a sudden you find out very quickly who the fans don't like as a sports announcer,
right?
Because you can hear every name in the book, and sometimes they have to have these things on delay so they can keep cutting out, because you can't trust the people, and especially when it comes to sports, if they don't like you, you're gonna hear it.
Yeah,
let's put it this way, you know, put Joe Buck I just said it.
Well,
Joe Buck is like the Nickelback of
right.
sportscasters. Some people love him, some people hate him. By the way, I think his interview show that he does on Audience TV is tremendous. I saw the interview he did with Kurt Warner last week. Oh, man, just so inspirational.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just somebody that people, for some reason, they dislike. Me, it's sports. I really don't have hatred or extreme love for anybody. It's sports. It's a game. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, I don't really get that upset at the reporters.
No.
It is a sport. Now, we do like it when ESPN likes to delve into politics. Now, we don't get angry. We actually love it because they show their ignorance of the issues. But, people screaming at you? Well, yeah, but where does it change? Because people can scream at you. They can make fun at you. They can say you suck.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no intention of violence whatsoever.
Right. We get it all the time from, our own staff.
Our own staff, right. Mm-hmm. But so we're really used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an expectation that if you put yourself in a particular situation, you know people are going to be vocal at you.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't violence being committed. That isn't an attempt to destroy the free press of America. It's the reality when emotions are high. And I think I told you this story. I was in, this was Philadelphia, and it would have been covering the Republican convention in 2000. And so I remember from the hotel, we're in this like a bus trolley car, and we're heading down the street, and it's all Republicans, because it was a Republican convention. All Republicans are in this vehicle, and there's probably 50, 75 people in it. And all of a sudden, someone looks, look, there's the serpent. It was James Carville. And everybody went to the windows to start, and everybody, oh, let's go, and with great big smiles on their face, but let's really get him. And they were going to throw every word of the book at him, and they saw, you know, when they looked him crossing the street, he was with one of his children. Mm-hmm. And it completely changed. And it was like, what a beautiful child you have. Nothing. Because as soon as I saw it with the child, everything stopped. But if the child wasn't there, I could have guaranteed you it would have been hilarious. But it was all in good fun. And, of course, with Jim Acosta, and you're at a Trump rally, and you're trying to do a broadcast, of course that's going to happen. Just like if, let me try to give another example. If Sean Hannity was trying to broadcast at an Ocasio-Cortez rally, would anything be said? I have a feeling yes.
It would probably start with, Mr. Hannity, we would like to have a word with you. We have a few disagreements with you and your channel.
But when you look at at least the reported events out there, the reported events that I see consistently are Trump people that are being harassed and attacked.
Right.
That's what I see, and that's what I focus in on. Words are words. That's going to happen. I don't care if people are
protesting, because there's tons of anti-Trump protesters at every rally, and that's been in place for years now, since the election year, and he was, you know, trying to become president, and it's still going on. And if they want to do that, fine. But this whole idea of we're the victims. You've been carrying on a false narrative for how long now? And we're still in this situation. Nobody can point to an actual crime, the actual criminal event related to somebody in the Trump campaign and the election. Nobody can point to that. Now we're back to, we've moved on to conspiracy and now back to obstruction.
It's gone from collusion, just in 24 hours, collusion, conspiracy, to an attempt of obstruction of justice was one headline.
Yes.
This is an attempt at obstruction of justice. And that's why we said earlier in the show that you and I believe, and others do, we related parts of the Wall Street Journal editorial yesterday saying, you want to defuse this? Stop tweeting. And we've said this for the longest time. It was good to see that somebody backed us up on that, because we've been saying it. Stop the tweeting. Get to the specific allegation. Get to the substance of the issues and get to the transparency of the truth. And start, if you're going to start threatening, threaten to declassify information and see the response from them. They claim that they want the truth. They claim that they want to know what happened in the investigation from Mueller. Well, then give it to them. And give it to them unvarnished. Don't have it filtered through your staff. Don't have it filtered through Devin Nunes' staff. Don't let it get filtered through Adam Schiff's staff. Don't let it get filtered through Mueller's staff and his report. Get the documents out there and let the people see the documents. Let the people see what was in the FISA application. Let's see the papers and the documents that justified and verified what was in FISA warrant. Let's see 302s. Let's see interviews, you know, from the different parties involved. Let's get to the bottom of it. The president should be out there every single day talking about truth and transparency, and that's what we want to get to. And you challenge the Democrats to do the same thing. The Democrats, I would be blunt, the Democrats claimed I did something. Let's find out what the FBI had on me. Let's stop all of this. Let's stop all of it. If they got something on me, we can find it out. And if you get accused, if you have members of the Justice Department that will quit, as the Wall Street Journal pointed this out, that quit saying you're interfering with the Mueller investigation, well, you're doing so on the side of transparency and truth. You want transparency, you want truth. If they challenge you and say you're cherry picking, then you publicly call them out and say, what do you wish for me to release? But if you're going to have the war on substance. Don't have the war on speculation going back and forth, because that's all it is right now, is a war on speculation and the rhetoric on speculation. And that doesn't get you anywhere. Solve the dang problem.
Well, and even Chris Eliza at CNN is pretty much resigned to this idea that nothing's going to come of this in terms of Trump. It's not going to be, they're not going to indict Trump. So this will probably end up with a report from Mueller. So if you let it get to that point, Mueller can just put his own narrative to it, and the American people never get to see what was behind it.
Because the allegations are serious enough to unredact what the FBI and Department of Justice were doing.
Yeah.
Both the allegations are. Both the allegations are important enough. A presidential election, and did on both sides. If you believe that Trump colluded with the Russians to change, to first hack the election or change the outcome of the election. We should know what the FBI has, and it should be unredacted and not filtered through anybody. Let the public see the documents. Let everybody analyze the documents.
Yeah.
And so that's one side of it. The other side of it, did the Obama administration attempt to spy on the Trump administration and use a dossier that was paid by the Democrats that was unverified, getting salacious information from the Russians? And did they get a bogus warrant in order to spy on the Trump administration? Both of those are worth unredacting a ton of government documents from the FBI and the Department of Justice. Just my humble opinion.
He right now is in the driver's seat. But you leave Mueller and the left in the driver's seat as long as you leave the equation as it is.
The process is so tainted politically, let the documents speak for themselves.
Right. You're right. It could not get really any worse. Because at one point, well, yeah, but if you do that, the Democrats will, they'll claim, they're going to claim everything in the books anyway. They've been claiming something on nothing for a year and a half plus. So let's get straight to it.
Stop with the weekly tweets. We should fire Mueller. We should fire Mueller. And month after month after month after month after month after month after month goes by, because that makes you look bad. That doesn't help your cause. And the second thing is, get rid of Giuliani. Or if you don't get rid of him, tell him to stop doing TV. He's not helping your case.
Well, because he's all over the place. You know, the word that, well, he's not going to answer questions. Okay, we're negotiating to what questions we might answer.
Stop doing this in public.
Stop.
If you wish to promote your side, promote truth and transparency of the actual documents.
Yep. Let's see them. Involve Adam Schiff and Devin Nunes, Director Ray, and the president. Sit down, unredact everything you can without revealing names and sources.
If you believe
methods and sources.
If your argument is I'm innocent and they're attempting to frame me, then always err on the side of truth and transparency. That's how I would view it.
Yep.
I'd say, okay, I'm being screwed over. These people are screwing me over. I do believe Mueller's political. I do believe this is coming from the point of view of Trump. I do believe Mueller's political. We know the Democrats are political. I know I didn't do anything that they accused me of. How do I win this? Do I win this by threatening every week that my attorney general, who recused himself, should fire Mueller? Does that get me anywhere? Or is it time to start getting the job done, which is what? Transparency and the truth. And if I'm going to err on the side of transparency and truth, because the allegation that either I fixed the election, that I colluded with the Russians to hack or change the outcome of the election, or the other side, which is they are the ones that tried to fix an election, we should know. 866-90-RED-EYE.
When it comes to topsoil moisture conditions over this past week, we've seen
rapid deterioration across the west and dry conditions stretching through the southwest and even into the southwestern Corn Belt.
Agriculture Department meteorologist Brad Rippey, the worst of the topsoil moisture deficits are coming in places you wouldn't expect.
Oregon leads the nation at 84%, very short to short. California not far behind at 75%. And then coming on fairly quickly now, Washington State, 63%, really just shows how dry a lot of the far west is right now.
Most of the Midwest crop areas have had rains here and there, but producers in Missouri seem to be on a dry island in a sea of states with decent topsoil moisture.
Missouri at 75%. Very short to short.
And the dryness is creeping down into the Mid-South. 65% of Arkansas's topsoil rated short to very short. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara. So, yeah, what we should go for is truth and transparency. Get the FISA warrant. Get all the supporting documents for the FISA warrant and the evidence for the FISA warrant. Get the 302s out there, all the discussions that were had and the people that were talked to. Get to the truth. And then if Democrats claim that you're cherry picking, then challenge them. Oh, well, then we'll unredact more.
Yeah. And, well, and I think from the beginning, you involve Adam Schiff. Because if you've involved Adam Schiff, Devin Nunes, and Director Ray to sit down with that information, we're going to declassify this, and we'll go through and make sure sources and methods.
But what will Schiff say?
Well, the first thing he'll do is flinch. Well, I don't want to be a part of that. Uh-huh.
Are always working. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary. He's Eric. 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, some other tidbits in the news. Chuck Grassley interviewed and said yesterday that head of the Senate Judiciary Committee said before October 1st or right after October 1st, Kavanaugh in.
Yeah.
Is the timeline.
Yeah. Right.
They won't start it till September.
They're not going to start the hearings until September.
Yeah, they're not going to. So it would happen early in September, but they would get it done, and he had the time schedule. Hopefully they want to get it done before the session starts.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting if they could actually get that, if they could get that done.
And yeah, they're working through their August break,
right?
Because there's so many confirmation items on the table right now, not just Kavanaugh. So I suspect it will... It'll be the showboating, like it always is, but I suspect the vote will come down to confirm.
The quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, getting bombarded on social media for his comments on the national anthem. Mm. I do like the Star Telegram article that, that he has been hit hard by rappers.
Yeah.
And writers and comedians and journalists bombarded with a number of unflattering memes and comments. Was asked what he thought about it. He said, "I'm not oblivious to it." He told the Star Telegram after practice on Tuesday, "You get on social media, you see it. It doesn't bother me. I said what I said. You have an opinion. Everyone else has an opinion. They are entitled to it as well. I accept what they said, and I respect it. They should respect mine," end of quote. Well, Dak, welcome to reality. They will not.
Not going to happen. But it doesn't matter. What are you going to do? I mean, you're going to protest Dak? It doesn't matter that social media is going crazy over anything. They go crazy over everything, right? So the organization's also not going to the Cowboys organization. The NFL might apologize. I'll leave that out there. They might.
Well,
they're not going to ask him to apologize.
Will they force Jerry to apologize?
No. He won't do it. They may ask him. You know, they did ask him to stop talking about it, you know, and he complied. Okay.
And the NFL season begins today?
Yep.
What? What are you talking about? Preseason, the Hall of Fame game, right?
Yep. Tonight.
And they don't have it solved?
As far as we know, I mean, I guess they could make an announcement today, right?
As to
what the Players Association and the NFL agreement would be.
Yes. And
we don't know what that is.
And what we believe the compromise will be is that all players must stand for the national anthem. No one will be allowed to stay in the locker room. Yeah. The NFL Players Association agreed to all the terms as long as it is the national anthem of Venezuela.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The longer it takes this negotiation.
Well, it's been 2 years
the
now.
The more complicated. Well, no, I mean this current negotiation between the Players Association and the NFL. The longer this takes, the more complicated it's going to be. Here's the list of terms that the NFL has agreed to.
All the technicalities. One player per team will be allowed to protest for 1 minute.
One cause per week.
One cause per week, 1 minute per cause.
What if the protester, the player that would protest, is out with a knee injury?
Well, you can protest the violent game of football.
What do you do about that? Why aren't you on your knee? Well, I'd like to, but, you know, the whole cast thing. You got a cast, you can't take a knee. I'm just asking questions. I'm just trying to see how all this works. So, will anybody take a knee tonight?
It will be the top story tomorrow.
Yep. And I believe it will be at least one player. We'll see it.
And then it really destroys this season again, so it's the third season in a row.
Well, once you start, you know, with that, then it's, okay, you've set the tone.
Right.
Because the idea would be for those that are protesting by not watching, if they were to come back to the game and then they see that, even though this is preseason, they would say, well, the NFL's not willing to do anything about this, so I'm done.
Yeah.
Not all of them, well, but some, I'm sure.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Does Jerry Jones, even if he can't talk about it, will he still discipline in the preseason? When I don't know when their first preseason game is, probably next week sometime. Mm-hmm. But in the preseason, if somebody kneels and he cuts them. Will the NFL tell him he doesn't have the ability to do that? He's already, remember, he has not retracted his statement. His statement was not about the NFL. It was about the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Cowboys stand toe on the line.
Ooh, wait a minute, from the other side. If you're thinking, oh, man, I haven't had a good camp. Haven't had a good summer training, and I'm probably not going to, you know where I'm going, don't you?
Yes, exactly.
I'm probably not going to make the team, so I'm going to take a knee, and that way if he lets me, you know, you're going to Kaepernick, basically.
Sorry, I forgot. This thing was about Kaepernick, so it should be the national anthem of Cuba.
Yeah, exactly.
And we
have been told that he has decided to protest by sitting out the entire season.
Again?
Yes. For the cause.
Now that we're starting the season, where's Michael Bennett? Is he on Philadelphia now?
I don't know.
Now, what police department, in order to protest injustice, what police department will Bennett lie about this year?
Yeah.
It's really amazing the way that the left doesn't actually want to talk. Let's talk the specific substance of Kaepernick and Bennett, because that's really the two catalysts.
Well, the thing is,
let's talk about the substance and the ideas and things that they're promoting and what they actually believe.
If the police, when they came in that night, had asked the DJ to play the national anthem, he wouldn't have run.
Oh, that's a good line. I like that. You're right.
This thing might be over by now. So I'm going to blame it on the cops. Man, you guys need to ask the DJ to play the national anthem. So we wouldn't be here. But so, question. We don't make predictions, but over under, that will they get it done by today? Will the NFL and the PA announce that they've come to terms?
I think the best line was it during the first year with the 49ers was, mm-hmm, when Kaepernick was still playing, was every time the 49ers came to the line of scrimmage, play the national anthem right, mm-hmm, before the snap, and yeah, they all kneel.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I, you know, you have to wonder if it, because it's not over. It doesn't matter what they, what kind of agreement they come to. Because the protester who isn't really going to be a top player, and they know it. I don't know. Let's just pick a name like Kaepernick.
Just makes you more of a martyr.
That's the whole thing, is that you believe you're not going to get signed. You believe you're not going to make the cut.
And in that case, yes, but we don't have any. Remember the threats when the NFL said, okay, this is our policy. The threats came out.
Right.
You know, remember it was being reported, sports publications, that you're going to have players now. Their sources say there are a number of players that are willing to sit out the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, training camp's now been going on a week. I don't know any player who is sitting out.
I haven't seen any reports that they're not showing up
for training camp. You know, so maybe there's some sitting out, but those are all contract disputes.
I don't know anyone who's saying,
until Kaepernick is brought back, and we can all freely kneel, I will never play in the NFL again.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Johnny Manziel's starting this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was traded
to Montreal. He's starting this weekend. He's going to play this weekend. Or Friday night he's going to play on ESPN2.
All right.
It's amazing. It's like Manziel's playing. All right, we got to get coverage in America.
Yeah,
got to make sure this game is on. Now, I wonder if they tried.
The whole idea, right?
I really wonder if they thought about that. I really wonder. It's like, okay, you got to make the trade now, because if you make it to Montreal, well, then we have the ESPN game next Friday night, and that's when Manziel would start.
Yeah,
and it will help us get some publicity in the United States.
Build some interest in the States. By the way, that's a great plan, because it probably will. Now I'm going to be a CFL fan. I'm not even a Manziel fan. I'm curious, you want to see if he can build a really good record of playing in any professional league.
That is his goal,
right? Sure.
His goal is to play in the CFL and get back to the National Football League,
right?
And I don't know. I mean, he could thrive in the CFL because the field's a lot wider. And again, they've passed the ball a lot more. Remember, their receivers can sit in the back, you know, behind the quarterback, and they can take a running start. And so they snap the ball, and they've got a running start. So it's really a passing game. It's not a running game like the NFL is more of a passing game than it used to be. But, you know, number one, it's a passing game because the field's so big. And you know how mobile he is, what he can do if anybody ever watched him play college football.
Right.
You know how great he can be. But the other thing is, there's only two downs and you punt. They only have three downs. There's not four downs in Canadian football. So the running game, I'd say maybe they run. Watched the game last week and it seemed like maybe one out of every six or seven or eight plays they would actually run.
Yeah, right.
Because you only have, you know, two downs before you have to punt.
And how long is the field?
110 yards.
Yeah.
It's so weird. All right, we're at the 53-yard line.
Yeah.
What? 866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel Fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. And so, yeah, if the election were held today.
No, 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 it can't be.
No.
It can't be.
The poll was out. If the election were held today, Biden would win.
Yeah, right.
But he's not up to 50% yet. So, I mean, and he hasn't announced yet. And
if it were held 2 months ago, Oprah would win. If it were held in 1985,
wait a minute. You're right. I think
Huey Lewis would win.
Wait. Didn't Oprah win in a poll?
Yeah.
Did she win against Trump head to head? I don't know.
Right.
I know she was in.
That's why I called her president elect Oprah.
Okay, because she was the top contender in the primary about two months ago, but Biden, I believe, is now. Biden is number one.
And next week it'll be Lady Gaga because she's got that movie coming out. With Bradley Cooper, Stars Born, the remake of Stars Born.
Oh, stop.
See that? Yeah. Yep.
You're kidding me.
No.
The Barbara Streisand, Chris Christopherson, A Star is Born?
He's doing the Chris Christopherson role.
There's no way you can do that. Yeah. It's no. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you can. Frankly. I think you can. Godfather? No. Stars Born? Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Jaws? Ooh. No. You know what I just saw the other day? I saw a movie that had, listen to this, remake Jaws. You'd have to do it right. Remake Jaws in the Richard Dreyfuss role, Paul Giamatti. Right? Am I right?
I don't know.
The other day he was on this, in this movie, and I saw him and he did this whole big long spiel and I thought, man, that's really Richard Dreyfuss. It's like Richard Dreyfuss in Jaws.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.